So we're on the top of Daf Kuf Amid Beis. Second line, Tani Chada. So the Gemara is going to quote a stira between two brisos. And the Gemara is going to try to reconcile these two brisos. And at some point, the Gemara might suggest that there is a machlokas between the two brisos. But the main thrust of the sugya is to try to find a way of an ukimta, of interpreting one brisa as referring to one case and the other to another. So according to the first brisa, Echad Ilan Lach vi Echad Ilan Yavish. The Iser, the Rabbanon, the Gzera, and the Shvus, that you're not allowed to benefit from a tree, applies whether or not the tree is Lach, which means it's definitely absorbing the moisture from the ground, or even if it's yavish, and if it's got no moisture, then it's a dry tree, it's not drawing from the nutrients of the karka. And in both cases, it's an ilan, whether it's wet or dry. And you're not allowed to sit on it, climb on it, etc. Tanya, the other brisa makes a distinction. And says, when do we say you're not allowed to climb a tree that's only belach, if it's got moisture, aval b'yavesh mutar. It's not considered mechubar, and there's no gzera. Even though, again, you know, technically speaking, it is mechubar l'karka. For example, as far as the laws of shibudim are concerned, or ancient nishban al-karkos, for sure would have the status of karka. But to say that we're afraid you might climb up and pluck off a fruit or so, that gzera wouldn't apply because we're talking about a tree that's yavish. And it's not included in the original gzera. So we now have what looks like a head-on collision between two brisos. Om Rabbi Yehuda Lokasha, I can reconcile these two brisos. Kan, the brisa that says you're not allowed to climb up a tree even if it's dry, it's a tree that's shegizo machlif. In other words, even though it's dry, it still has some minimum moisture to it, such that it can produce and grow in the future. It's not dead and sterile in an irreversible way. And therefore, we're going to anticipate the possibility that because of the vestige of moisture in this tree, it will actually it will rejuvenate itself at some point in the future. But the brisa that allows you to benefit from the yavesh tree, you know, that's foregone. It's jumped off the precipice. It's irreversible. Be'ein gizo machlif. There's no way that this tree will rejuvenate itself because it is totally, totally dry. There's no moisture whatsoever. So again, we'd have to ask the experts in forestry and in growing trees exactly how we would measure the extent of the dryness of the tree. Maybe even you and I, as novices, would be able to sort of pluck off a little bit of a bark from the tree and see if there's any vestige of moisture. And the Gemara says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda that Gizo Machlif is considered a Yavish. In other words, even though the Brisa that says it's Asur, he calls it an Ilan Yavesh, but it's a case of Gizo Machlif, whereas the other Brisa that says that the Yavesh it's Mutter, that's a case of Ein Gizo Machlif, it's Yavesh Lagamre. So the Gemara is going to try to actually find an alternative resolution to this contradiction, because gizo machlif, if you're talking about an ilan that's basically moist and it's alive and it will be able to, as we said before, regenerate itself and rejuvenate itself and generate it's tzomeach, then yovesh karis le. Why would the Braisa use that word yovesh? It's a very, very confusing, ambiguous term to use. It actually misleads us. If it has the koach, if it has the potential to recreate itself, and again, to vegetate, so to speak, then it's lach. I mean, that's exactly what the definition of lach is. You can't tell me that the Braisa used the term yovesh when it's a gizo machlif situation. It can come back and rejuvenate itself. So therefore, the Gemara comes up with a different alternative reconciliation of the two Braises. Elalav lo kasha. Kan b'yemos hachama, kan b'yemos hageshom. And we can differentiate between the summer months and the winter months. During the summer months, when other trees are producing leaves on their branches, and this tree is bare, even during the summer, it's not motzi olim, then it's obvious to the naked eye that this is yovesh. Because all the other trees are flourishing, and they're producing foliage, and the rains have fallen, and the sun is out, and the trees are blossoming, and this tree is just dead, so to speak, then nobody's going to make a mistake and think, well, you know what? You're allowed to climb a tree because the rabbis allowed them to climb this tree. This tree is clearly different than all the other trees. So the contrast makes what we call a heker, and this becomes a little clearer when we get to the next kan b'mos hagshamim. In this case, all the trees out there have no leaves. Now, even though you're a great farmer and you did a test and you know that this tree is totally yovesh, but to the eye of the spectator, there's no difference between this tree and any other tree. You're the expert. You know that it's yovesh, but nobody else knows it's yovesh. And therefore, they're going to think during Yemos HaGeshamim that this tree is like any other tree. They don't realize that this tree is yovesh. Because the whole distinction between yovesh and lach doesn't apply during the winter months. All the trees are bare. And therefore, if somebody sees this tree, which is yovesh, he's going to think that, you know what? If you are benefiting from this tree and climbing this tree during the winter months, then you're permitted to climb them during the summer months. And even though during the summer months, all of a sudden this tree might be a little bit more alive, so to speak, but nevertheless, there is an issue here of Maris Ayin, if we're going to allow you to benefit from this tree during the winter months. So the Gemara is not happy with this answer either. The Gemara rejects this as well. Why? Because the Yemos HaChama, if during the summer months every single person can see and can identify that it's yovesh, during the winter months all the trees look the same, but this tree, because we examined it and we sent it to the lab and we know it's totally dry, is different than all the other trees. Well, when it comes to summer, we're going to clearly see the difference between the two. On Nasri Peri. In other words, then in the Gemara's Kasha is that during Yemos HaChama, what are you going to tell me? That you're not allowed to... You're going to tell me that during the summer you're allowed to climb this tree because it remains yovesh. Well, Hanasri Peri. In other words, if he climbs up the tree and he goes up and down the tree, then there are peros that are there from the previous years, and he's going to actually cause these peros to come down. And the question is there a violation of some sort of an Issur Tlisha, right? The whole reason why you're not allowed to benefit from a tree on Shabbos is because we're afraid of the violation of Tlisha. Well, in this case, what are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that that there's no Issur Tlisha, and therefore the Braisa that says it's Mutter is talking about these dried trees during the summer months. We should ask it during the summer months, because, you know, if we're afraid that he might come to do Tlisha from this tree, which is dry, right, even though technically there is no violation of Tlisha in this case, because those peros that are there from last year are not growing from this tree. The tree is Yavesh. So you have, like, for example, if you would go out to my pomegranate tree here, which is a few feet away from me, in my porch, you'll see two types of pomegranates on the tree. There are pomegranates that are growing, and many of them are already mature. And then you have last year's pomegranates, which are kind of black and all shriveled up. So let's assume that even though the tree was dry during the winter, it nevertheless has some, the Gemara thinks it has some sort of vestige of fruits that were never removed from the tree from yesteryear, years bygone. And if we allow him now to climb up the tree and these old, old fruits are going to fall down from the tree, he might be tempted to climb up a tree which has brand new fruits that just have produced, and he'll violate the Issur Tlisha. So the Gemara answers, Bidaleka Peri, that this tree is so dry, and we saw it already during the winter months, how dry it was, because we were able to evaluate the tree and send it to a lab, as we said, but it's gone beyond the ability to produce. So there won't be any leftover fruits on this tree from previous years because it's totally yavish. So the Gemara is not happy with this either, because for Hakanasri Kinsi, even if the tree doesn't produce fruits, but nevertheless it has these small little twigs, pieces of wood, which are called kismin, and when he climbs up, he's going to break these kismin. And that too is Asur on Shabbos. So Gemara answers, Begiduda. Geduda means that the trunk of the tree, which is called the Geza Ha'ilon, Shenashru Anof of Kulam, in other words, the branches fell off, and you're left with just the base or the trunk of the tree, and therefore there are no ksamen, there are no kinsi. These kismin, not ksamen, I said kisamen, I meant to say kismin. These kismin, which are the small twigs of the tree, are no longer there. So therefore, even when he climbs up, he's not going to destroy any of those small twigs. And basically, nothing is going to fall off the tree when he climbs up. So the Gemara says, "Eini, is it really allowed? Are you telling me you're allowed to be mishtamish with this geduda, right? Where what you're left with is just the raw trunk of the tree. V'arav ikla le'afsatya. Rav, in a trip, was located, found himself in a city called Afsatya, the Asa B'Geduda. And he told the people there that you're not allowed to climb up a Geduda tree. This, despite the fact that what's left of the tree is just the trunk of the tree. So Gemara answers, Rav, Bika Matzah V'Gadar B'Gadar. In other words, he found that the people of Aspas, of what's it called again, Afsatya, were, shall we say, Amiorets, they were ignorant. And he was afraid that if he would be matir them to climb up this tree, which is a Geduda tree, they don't realize that there's a difference between this tree and another tree, which does have the capacity to produce. And therefore, in the absence of Torah knowledge here, in the situation of ignorance, he was afraid, he was inhibited to be matir, although for us, as far as, you know, codifying the halacha for Shulchan Aruch is concerned, a geduda tree is mutter, and that's the case where the Braisa was matir, a dry tree. It's totally dry, even though there aren't, not only are peros absent, but there are no branches on this tree. There are no twigs on this. There's no small piece of wood that would fall off when you would climb the tree. But Rav asked it in that city because of the idiomatic phrase, which is called Bika Matzav Gadav Agadir. Right? Bika is an open area. It's parts. It's like an open field. And if you want to benefit the owner of the field, you build a gadir around it. You set up a fence around it. This is an idiomatic phrase which Gemara uses to explain asusiyag la'Torah, meaning that sometimes the chachamim have to realize that if they allow X, people will mistakenly allow Y because the people are parts. They have no gadir. They don't know the difference between one thing and another. It's all open to them. It makes no difference. So in order to set up a gadir around this piritza, protect the piritza, the bika, I should say, Rav told them that a gduda is us, so you're not allowed to climb a gduda. Omar Rami Bar Abba, Omar Rav Asi, Osu, Liodim She'alech al Gabi Asovim B'Shabbos. This is a very common question. Are you allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos? And Rabbi Abba, in the name of Rav Asi, said it's Osur, because we're afraid that he'll uproot the grass as he walks, and he would violate the Iser Ktsira or Tlisha Doraisa. And again, there's a long discussion here in the Igle Tal about whether this is called Shinui. This is not the normal way that you would uproot grass, you know, without a kli, just through your shoes. Shenema, and he brings it a smachta for a pasuk of Mishlei, the otz biraglaim chote. Otz is someone who runs with his feet. You know, he's not thinking. You know, he doesn't deliberate. He just shoots him and runs. He's called a chote. And the simple pshat of the pasuk is that a person should think before he walks, he runs, he acts. Every action should be deliberate, and he should weigh the possibility that he might do a sin. And here also, before you start running through grass, you should weigh the possibility that through your running through the grass, you're going to be tolish, you're going to rip grass out of the ground on Shabbos. Tani Chada, one Brisa says, Mutal Lelech al Gabi Asovim B'Shabbos, which would contradict the statement of Rav Asi. V'Tanya Iduch, another Brisa on the other hand, says, also, you're not allowed to walk on grass on Shabbos. Please keep off the grass on Shabbos, because you're being told Esh Asovim. So let's see if we can reconcile these two seemingly contradictory Brises. And the Gemara says, Ha Bilachim Ha B'Yaveshim. Sometimes the grass is moist, and he'll be tolish it by balicha. So sometimes the grass is already dried up, especially during the hot summer months, and that's not considered tolish. That which is no longer removing or sucking up the nutrients from the ground because it's yavesh, that's not considered tlisha. It's almost as if it's already tolish. It's already been cut off from the ground. It's not really attached to the ground. It's not growing from the ground. And therefore, we have no fear, because even in the worst case scenario, if he runs through this dry grass and he pulls out some grass, it's not considered a violation of Melechus Tolesh, because it's not Mechubel Lekak. It's not growing from the ground. It's Yavesh. In the case of trees, we said that sometimes the tree, even though it's Yavesh, it still has some moisture and it might regenerate itself. But dry grass is dead to the world. It's not connected. It's as if you've mowed the lawn already. Ibai Sema, another possible. The Gemara is going to give, I think, six possible answers here to reconcile these two brises. Second answer is Haba ha bilachim. Even the brisa that says that it's mutter is talking about wet, moist, growing grass. Belokasha kan bimos hachama v'chan. during the summer months, there's what's called Zera Begiv Olim. And it's Asur to remove the Zera from the Giv Olim. Now, as he's walking, what's going to happen is he's going to detach the seeds from the kernels. Right? Inside the kernels, there are seeds. It's like peas in a pod. And when he breaks that separation, he is going to be violating Shabbos. But the brisa that allows it is Bimos HaGeshomim. Bimos HaGeshomim, you won't find any peas inside the pot, so to speak. There's no Zera B'Givolim. And therefore, he would not be violating a Malach of Shabbos, and that's grass during the winter season. Now, in the note here, he quotes Rabbeinu Yonasan. He says that during Yemos HaChama, the reason for the Isur is because at this point in time, during the summer months, the grass is inclined to become more dry. And once it gets a little bit dry, it's fragile, which means it's breakable. And what you do is sort of like you snap the grass. But during the winter season, the Asovim are moist and they're soft and they're not so fragile, they don't break. The Rush comes to the exact opposite conclusion. He says that B'Yemos HaGeshomim, because of the rains, the grass gets very tough, gets very taut. And therefore it's easy to break it and to violate the Malach of Tlisha. Dafka during the Mos HaChama, according to the Rosh, they are softer, they bend, and we don't have to worry about their breakage. Ibai Sam of the Gemara now offers a third answer. We're talking during the summer months. And before we said the summer months should be Asur because he's breaking the Zera from the Giv Olim. Lokasha ha desayim misane ha delo misayim misane. It's not an issue in the grass, it's an issue in the shoes that the person is wearing. And is he wearing shoes? So when the Braisa says you're allowed to walk on grass, that's a case where he's wearing shoes. That's called Sayim Misani, Noel Minolan. And as a result of the fact that he's wearing shoes, right, the shoe has a flat bottom to it, and he might crush the asavim, sort of the weight, but he's not ripping them out. So there's no Tlisha. But the Braisa that says it's Osir, he's going barefoot. And if he's going barefoot, then what happens is the grass inevitably gets caught in between his toes, and every time he lifts up his foot, he rips out the grass from the ground. And that's called a malacha of tolish, and therefore it's awesome. Now this was Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara. And ha, in the case where he's Messiah, son, he's wearing shoes, that's the price that allows it. However, the Meiri quotes Rishonim that say just the opposite. When he wears shoes, then we're afraid that the leather of his shoes is very tough and it's going to be tolish. Whereas when he walks grass with the softness of his foot, therefore he will not rip out the grass. So for those who enjoy tromping through grass on Shabbos barefoot, they should rely on the Rosh, on the Meiri. Ibai Seima, we're up to Teretz number 4, I believe. Im Timtzalomar, you can reconcile the Brises by saying the following, Hava Hadim Misayim Misane. in all the cases he's wearing shoes. Velo kasha hada isle ukti hada lesle ukti. Again, we're talking about different types of shoes now. Before we were differentiating whether he's wearing shoes or not. Now we're talking about different types of shoes. So Rabbo said, can you help me out here a little bit? What do the baseball players wear? What are those shoes called? You know, they have the spikes on the bottom.
Cleats.
How do you spell it? C-L-E-A-T?
Yes.
Ah, cleated. Well, would you say cleated shoes? Cleated shoes. So the Islay Ukse are cleated shoes, and they have these little spikes on the bottom. And what happens is the grass inevitably gets caught up in these spikes, and when he takes his next step, he rips out the grass. But the Brisa that was Matir, that's talking about a case of Lesley Ukse. He's just got a flat bottom. He doesn't have these cleats on the bottom. And therefore, there's no chashash that he'll rip out the grass. Ibai same a fifth answer to reconcile these two brisos is ha veha disle ukti. In both cases, he has these like nails on the bottom of his shoe. But ha, the brisa that says it's also, that's the isle sharcha. Veha de lesle sharcha. Now we're going back to the grass itself. Before we were talking about grass that was hard and dry as opposed to grass that's moist. Now we're talking about different sizes or length of grass. There's short grass and there's tall grass. So Islay Sharcha are blades of grass that are very long. Sharcha is actually a ptila, which is a wick that is sort of twisted around, and then you put oil and then you light the wick. And that's used here as a symbol for a type of grass that's very long. And if it's long, then it gets caught in his shoe and he's going to rip it out. But the Bryce is talking about a case of Leslie Sharcha. So that's a normal size, average size grass. It's not too long, and therefore he would not necessarily be ripping out the grass. So when the grass is longer, then it gets caught, so to speak, in his shoes, and he takes the next step and he rips it out of the ground. Now the Gemara says the following, that all these discussions about the possibility of prohibiting walking on grass are all theoretical. They do not apply, and it's perfectly mutter to walk on grass. Again, you may have problems with neighbors if you walk on their grass or in a park. But if it's your own private backyard, you're allowed to walk on grass. Or if it's a public area. Public area, nobody mind. And this is based on the Shita of Rabbi Shimon and the halacha called Psikresha de lo nichale, which means that he has no kavana, no interest in ripping out grass. That's the furthest thing from his mind. And even if you'll tell me that you can guarantee up front that he's certainly going to rip some grass, given the fact that he's going from location X, you know, point X to point Y, and some of the grass he's going to inevitably rip out, but it's lo nichale. He has no benefit from it. Now, here we have to talk about two types or categories of pturim and Shabbos. One is a ptur of Dovashena Miskamen, and the other is a ptur of Lo Nichale. The first is a universal ptur that applies according to Rav Shimon and Kol Targula. So, for example, a Nazir would be allowed to comb his hair, even though some hairs might get removed, and then he's violating the Issur Tiglachas, but the answer is that he's not Miskamen. He doesn't have any kavana to rip hairs out. He's just trying to get the knots out of his hair. Or the famous case of a person who, for medical purposes, takes a medication that's going to cause sterility. And that's an isolav of soris, but it's ain't a miskavet. So the Gemara says in about five places, or maybe more, that Omer Abaye, Abaye Verovich, Ravayu Amri, Moder Rav Shimon Psik Resha, that you can't tell me you're not miskaven if you know what's going to happen. You cut off the head of the chicken, it's going to die. So that's called Psik Resha. However, although Psik Resha completely undermines Dovr Shedim Miskaven in Shari, so in Kol HaTor Kula, when it comes to Shabbos, there's a unique Shabbos halacha, which is called Melacha Sheni Tzricha L'Gufa. And in our context, it's called a Psik Resha D'Lo Nichale. So that in Shabbos, it's not just an issue of, do you know you're going to do it, it's going to happen. There's another issue, are you benefiting from it? And in this case, he gets no benefit whatsoever from walking on the grass, or ripping out the grass. V'idna de kaimalon kir Rabbi Shimon, which means Dovr Sheni Miskaven is mutter, or alternatively, if it's obscuratia, it's lo nichale, is kule shari. In all cases, we're allowed to walk on grass. And even though he's going to rip the grass, he's not miskaven to rip the grass. Now, the Rashba writes that lemaskana, according to the final conclusion of the sugya, based on the fact that we paskin like Reb Shimon, we're allowed to walk on grass. However, says the Rashba, that only applies if there's no psik resha. However, if there's a psik resha that he's going to pull out asovim, his mode of psik resha. Now, Tosa says, in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, that's a small Tosa Idna, that there's no heter except in the case of asovim. But ein lo chich misesh mutu lalos be'ilon, mishum she'enem eskavim litlos, you can't tell me that, well, let's paskin like Rav Shimon, allow you to climb up the tree, and if the fruits fall down from the tree, you had no kavana for tlisha. But he says that in the case of trees, even though they're dry, but there's certain moisture to them, there's more of a shaychus to create this gzera than in the case of asovin. Because when he climbs up the tree, everybody sees that the fruits are, you know, coming down from the tree. Machenken, in the case of Asovim, it's not so clear, it's not so obvious that he's ripping out Asovim. Now, the Rif in the Rambam and other Rishonim Paskin, like the Maskotis Gemara, Muto Lahalech al Gabi Asovim B'Shabbos, Bein Lachim Ubein Yeveshim. And many of the Rishonim want to say that if it's Vadai that it'll be Tolesh Bali Chosub Sekresha, it should be also. So there's a Bir Aloch about this in Simon Shin Lamed Vav. Apparently the Dibra Maskel is Mutter. That according to the Urayim and the Smag, it's not logical that when Rav Asi said Ha'idna, or Rav Asi actually was the first one who said that it's also Leilech Hagabi Gesomim, we completely reject this. So they therefore answer that Sugya is talking about someone who's walking gently over the grass, and there's no certainty that for sure he'll be tolish. We don't know if he'll be tolish. Since he's not miskaving to be tolish, therefore it's mutter, according, and that reflects the shita of Rab Shimon. But if he is running through the asovim, and add to boot that the asovim are long, is then he's going to be vad, it's vade, they'll be tolish, asovim, and even according to Rav Shimon, it would be also because Moder Rav Shimon Psik Resha. So far, in the literature that I see quoted here in the footnotes, he doesn't mention anything about the Shitas HaOruch, about secretion of Nichol. Well, let's go back to the Gemara. If you remember, Rabbi Bar Chama, the name of Asi, had quoted a pasuk in Mishle. So now we want to derive other conclusions from this pasuk in Mishle. All right, now we can skip to the next Mishnah, and we're on Daf Kuf Aleph Amid Aleph. You'll get a chance, hopefully, to fill in the Agadot. Now, the Mishnah that we're about to start now addresses the case of closing doors on Shabbos when the doors are not permanent. If they're permanent, they're part of the structure of the building, and therefore it doesn't look like binyan. You're not adding anything to complete a structure. But if these fake doors or substitute doors are not really viable or permanent in nature, then ain nol in Bohem. We're going to have a problem with closing a door when that door is a non-permanent temporary door. Okay, so let's see if we can go through the list of these so-called temporary doors. Okay. The first one is the case of a muktzeh. Muktzeh is another word for a rechava. Now, I'm not sure if we got a chance to learn about a rechava together. Rechava is the opposite of a chatzah in the sense that a chatzah is when you leave your house through the main door and you exit, you enter into a courtyard. That's called a chatzah. In the back of your house, if there's any plot of land, so to speak, that's called a rechava. He doesn't have a door on the back of his house. Now, again, this is a little bit different than our doors. I mean, we have a backyard, right? You have a front yard and a courtyard that's common to others sometimes, and you go out the main entrance. But we also have a backyard, but that's not a rechava. Rechava is not a backyard where you have a door and you get benefits from, you know, picnicking or laying in the sun in the back of your house. No, no, no. There's no door in the back of your house. But there is something called a delisha b'mukta, which is called a delisha l'rechava shachari abaisha eina kvua, and it doesn't have any permanent connection to the house. Usually when you have a door, you connect the door to the house through tzirim. But here you don't have tzirim. So let's talk about a door to a backyard that is very short term, so to speak. It's used infrequently. It's not hung in the regular way where you have a door that fits into the side of the into part of the wall of the house, and you place it into tsirim. I'm trying to think of the word in the English word for tsirim. Hinges. Oh, that's the word. Right. So there are no hinges that attach the door permanently in the case of a delas mukta, shebe mukta. What he does is he sort of like, if there's a frame in the back of his house, he just jams some sort of piece of wood or whatever it might be into that frame. Now, if somebody wants to enter into the house from the back of the house, which is called a rechava, then he has to remove this so-called door from its closed position and he places it on the ground. But sometimes he tied down the door to the what's called a lintel of the house. Now, this is the first case. The second case in the Mishnah of a temporary kind of door is called Chadokim Shebepirtza, which is a bunch of thorns, and they put it into the gap in the wall as a replacement for a door. So these bundles of thorns or mats are not functional in the normal way. They're just sort of a backup position, only on a temporary basis. And the third case is Machzeles Hanigreris. A Machzeles, as you know, is a mat, and sometimes it is used to close an opening in, you know, like a window, by just jamming the mat into the frame of the house, or the frame of the window. But it's, again, it's there to be moved and removed back and forth. It's not permanently, it's kind of suspended. And that's called Nigreris. Nigreris means that even, you know, when he's not using it to jam up his window, it drags on the ground. And in all these cases, since these are not regular doors that are permanently attached to the structure, it looks like you're constructing something new. And although this is technically not called Meleches Binyan, because when you jam the window, you're not changing the structure of the house on a permanent basis, but it looks enough, it's similar enough to construction, so that the Rabbanan would prohibit it because it's near a Kibinyan. And then we have the case of Kankan Hanigrar. And literally, we would translate it as a plow handle. Now, this is something that, again, nigra means it drags on the ground. And in a place where you don't have a door to close the opening in the frame, you could sort of use it. But bisman shekshurim utluyim. In this case, if we have two conditions that are met, it's both kosher and tolui. And what we did was we took this kankan, and what we did was we so to speak, locked it up. What do I mean by locked it up? We attached it to the structure of the building with a kesher, with a permanent knot. And tluyim. Tluyim means it's hanging in midair. So what that means is that it really looks like it's part of the structure of the house. Is nolim ben b'shabbos. So I skipped a few words. I'm sorry, I got distracted. Again, Dela shebemuksa chadokim shebepirtza umachzelos ein nolim b'hem. Okay, that was, sorry. So those are the three cases where these are not regular doors, and they're not permanent in any way, and they're not tied down to the building itself. So therefore, ain't null and void. And then we get to the case of Elim kein gvoim in ha'aretz, which means they're suspended above the ground. Okay, so again, the Rabbanan are going to aser it in the temporary doors that are not fully suspended from the ground, because that's near a kibinyan. But if it's attached with a kesher and it's not dragging on the ground, but it's suspended in midair, then obviously it's not that you're adding something to the structure, but rather these are serving as doors, and therefore you're allowed to use them as doors. It seems from this Mishnah that in order to close up this opening, this window, with a door that's a temporary door, you need to fulfill two conditions. It's got to be, number one, Eino Nigrar, and number two, it's got to be Kshurim. So it's Kshurim Utluya. It's tied down, and it's not dragging on the ground, but rather it's suspended in air. I mean, the very fact that it's suspended in air indicates to the onlooker, to the spectator, that it's being used as a door, and it's really attached to the structure, and therefore nolim b'hem b'Shabbos, being tzorich lomar b'yont. Whatever is mutter on Shabbos is certainly with the kal v'chomer mutter on yont. Ureminu. Now we see a steer between a brisa and our Mishnah. The brisa says delis hanigreres, machzeles hanigreres, v'kankan hanigrar, v'zman shekshur metluyim, nolem b'Shabbos ein tzorich lomar b'yontif. So according to the brisa, if it has both kshurim and tluyim, then it's mutter. Our Mishnah doesn't stipulate that the door be completely raised above the ground. So let me read to you the translation here of, or shall I say, the summary of Rashi. It says, "Ilu hayu gvoim min ha'aretz." If they were suspended in the air, then the Brisa wouldn't have said nigrarim. The Brisa says delas hanigreres, and yet it says that it is kshurim and tluyim. You see, in the Mishnah, you would say delis hanigreres and the like, machzels hanigreres, kankan hanigreres. That's one case. And there the case is that it's completely dragging on the ground. And therefore ain't nolim b'hem. But in the Brisa, in these very three cases, the Brisa says, b'zman shem kshurim utluyim, nolim b'hem b'shabbos. But yet it's called a delis hanigreres. So we have to assume here that what the Brisa is coming to be matir is something that's not completely, not totally dragging on the ground. But it is on the ground. It's not completely, totally biavir. If it was completely suspended in the air, the Brisa wouldn't call them nigrarin. Again, in the Mishnah, he also calls them nigrarin. I know he doesn't actually use the word nigrarin. Omar Abaye. Abaye answers this question by saying, v'sheyesh lahem tzir. In other words, that the reason why this Brisa was mekil in the case of like toli v'she'eno toli is because they have a tzir, a pivot, it's called in English. And therefore it's recognizable that these are doors. That, in other words, they are designated as doors. And therefore you're not near a kibona. You're just simply closing a door. Rava Omar, he has a different interpretation of the Brisa b'shehayu lahem tzir. In other words, at one point in time they had a pivot, and therefore people recognized them as doors. Now the pivot is no longer there, but nevertheless they recognize it as a door, and therefore it's not near a kibbon. Let me mention the Me'iri, and he has a comment at the beginning of this perek, back on Daf Tzadi Hey, about the different parts of this parak called Hamotzi Tefillin. And he writes that one of the various segments or themes of this parak is Shimush B'Shus Achas, the Od Sha'odom Ome B'Shus Acheres. Now, when a person is standing in one Rishus, he wants to drink from another Rishus. Here in our Mishnah, Echad min hashimushim alalu ne'ilas delis. This is the Meiri's chiddush here, that when you close a door, the Mishnah is talking about a case where, you know, he's standing in one rishus and he's locking his door or closing up his window. So these dinim of ne'ilah and psicha also have something to do with standing in one rishus and doing some shimush in another rishus. In any event, the word mukta here in our Mishnah means that it doesn't have a tashmish tadir. In other words, it's not that it's a permanent structure and part of the bias, but rather the balabias is makta. He designates this midaito for the purpose of closing and jamming up this open frame. And the Rabbeinu Chananel writes that the kavana here of mukta is an open place, like a deer in a sahar, and it's higher than a karmelis, and therefore it's mukta himenu. It's like separated from him. He is mufrad mimenu. He's separated from it. Now, there are some dlossos that are not mechubaris labinyan at all, and you simply use them to plug up an opening when he wants to open. He takes off this plug, he takes it out, and he puts it on the ground. There are those plugs, on the other hand, that are hanging on the wall of the house with a rope. And at the end of the rope, on the top end of the rope, on the bottom end, they're dragged onto the ground. They're negrorim ba'aretz. And that's tlios and negroros la'aretz in our Mishnah. Now, you could have a deles of a house that's made without hinges, without any connection to the house. Our Mishnah mentions the din of a rechava shemachori abatim, which is a case of ein tashmisha shtadir. It's not generally used to go out from the back. And if the balabais is not so makbid to make a delz kavu over there. Now, the Mishnah needs to teach us three things. There's kshurim, tluyim, and gvoim in ha'aretz. And one is above the other one. Like kashur could be where it's completely on the ground. Tolui means that it's kosher, and the top part, the rosh hatachton, is still munach ba'aretz. Gavoa min ha'aretz, on the other hand, means that it's completely suspended in midair. And the Mishnah Berurah in his Bir Aloch and Simon Shin Yud Gimel writes that if it's gavoa min ha'aretz at the time of ne'ilah, when he locks the door, and he lifts it from the karka, but on both sides, without any kshira, that's not enough. He's got to have kashur, and then he's allowing its mutter linolpo. So kshira is a critical condition. Now, Rabbeinu Yonah's son writes that in the cases of, we had here the cases of just get the list again. Of gvoim in ha'aretz, and it's afilu kol shuv. In other words, if it's suspended above the ground in the airspace, then even if it's a small area, in other words, if it's not gvoim in ha'aretz, but rather it's nigrar, then you're not allowed to close it up. Because if it's not mechubar klal to the binyan, to the binyan, then it's called binyan gomur. And we're going to see that in the Braisa, not just in the Mishnah. Anyway, Rabbeinu Yonason writes that they have to be gvoim in aretz at least three tefachim. That's not the requirement of other Rishonim. And the reason for three tefachim is because otherwise we're going to apply the halach of lavut. The Beis Yosef in Siman Shin Yud Gimel writes that according to our Girsa, it should really read Kol Shehu. It doesn't have to be Gavah Min Aretz Shlosha Tfachim. Now, there's a Gemara later on in Daf Kuf Beis, which paskins halacha like Rabbi Yehuda in that Mishnah, that you're allowed to be Noel bin Nagar Gam Kishe Eino Tolui V'dai B'Kashu. Here, we seem to require both kosher and tolui. And there are a number of different answers to reconcile this apparent contradiction. the Tur Paskins Lalocha again in Simon Shin Yud Gimel, like the Ravid. The Ravid says there's a difference between a Delis Kvua and a Delis She'ena Kvua. Only in the case of a Delis that's used, that's designated to open and lock on a permanent base, on a regular base, that's a Tadir, then we're going to be Matir to close it with a Nagar She'eno Tolui. Because everybody knows that it's designated as a to be Noel. And it's not near a Kibinyan. Our Mishnah, which requires, in order to be Matir Noel, it requires that in the case of if it's not Gvoim Min HaAretz, and it's dragging on the ground, that's because there's no heker borer that it's being used or designated as a delis, because it's a delis of a mukta, and it's a stimas apirza, which means that we don't open it bekfius, and therefore it's nira kibona. And that's going to be the tour in the name of the Ravid. But a bunch of the achronim on the dike from Rashi, Divra Maskal Adelis, where Rashi writes that the reason why the Mishnah mentions the din of muktzah is because it's not usual for a balabayas to lock up his door, which is tluya karoy. And they want to be medayik from Rashi, that according to Rashi, our Mishnah was said even in the Delis of a bayis k'she'ena mechuberes uzkufa. And the Tana only mentioned the din of Adelis Mukta because Diver Bekasu Behove. In other words, this is a regulus of Adelis that's not Mechuberis, so it's against the Ravid. And Rashi will have to now come up with another answer to the question that Rishonim as to the L'chora Stira between here and the Mishnah later on Daf Kuf Beis. In any event, the Achrona, whether it's the Gon, or even in the Ramah, it seems that the Psicha, you know, the Machlokas here about whether opening a Psicha Tadira is enough to be Matir, even if it's not Kosher, even in the absence of Kshira. And the Prima Godim sheds a light on the Machlokas here between Rashi and the Ravid. It's wherein is the Chshash of Nira Kibona? Is it in the Tzuras Adeles? Or is it an asuya liskar lizman meruba? So those are the two definitions. Whether it's the tzuras adeles, there's the chash of nira kibona, so we have to look at the structure. Or is it, what is it designated for? Is it asuya, is it designated to be soger for a long period of time? And there's going to be a nafkamina in two cases. One is the delis mukta when it's asuya lizman katsar. According to the Ravid, there'll be no Isur. And according to Rashi, since it doesn't have a Tzuras Delis, it's Asur. And the second afkamina will be in Pkaka Chalon, that plugs up a window, Kshaosel Isman Meruba. That according to the Ravid, it's going to be Asur because it's near a Kibona. And according to Rashi, it's not a Stima Tluya Ukvua Karoi, that would be near a Skibayas Kibona, even if it's Asuya L'Yomim Rabin. Now, we mentioned here something that was called a Machtzelis HaNigreris and a Kankan HaNigra, which is, we said it was the handle of a hoe. And it's a Chelek HaMachresha HaOsumi Eitz V'Tzido HaElyon Achuz Bidei HaChoresh the Katseo Tachto notes the Yased HaBarzel HaChoresh Ba'aretz. And that's how the Ritva also interprets it. Yeshen Nolum Amidimo Sobimokum Delis Keneged HaPesach. And there are those who will use it as a kind of substitute door, and it's aligned Keneged the Pesach. Now, here in the footnote, he quotes Rabbeinu Yonasan, who says, "Shall you noatzim es hakankan be emtza pesach kidei limnoas habehema milotzes?" And that was the way they prevented the animal from going. Okay, we'll stop here.